We have our high schoolers are going up to their camp this weekend, and so I had asked Terry, my secretary, can you run off every one of their names? Put a scripture out of Colossians 1, 9 through 13 underneath every single one of the names. So one of you have girls, one of you have guys, and the other one has the leaders, and then times three. So each whoever would like to pray, if you guys could just pass those out right now, just raise your hand. If you'd like to pray for one kid this weekend, you're committing to pray for them Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I even wrote on there what to pray for them each day out of kind of using Paul's prayer in praying for them. So you don't need to know them, but just grab them. And thank you for doing that. Kelly actually came up with that at their last camp. And so I just said, well, just make these many. We'll do it. We'll just pass them out. And let's pray for our high school kids, for God to just do some radical things in their life at camp this weekend. Thanks for doing that. Thank you. Okay, so that's praying for them. Thank you again for doing that. They leave Friday late afternoon. You can be praying. Thanks so much. Second thing I want to announce is we announced it on Sunday. Our FPU study is going to be starting up, our Financial Peace University, and Steve and Christine. Where's Steve and Christine? There they are right up here. They're going to be in the back somewhere taking signups for this. It is $100. It goes for 9 weeks. We do it for during third service, so it actually starts at a little bit earlier, 11:15. But that way, in case you have kids, we're giving people the opportunity to be able to have their kids in Sunday school while they go through this. This program, this ministry is very important to us as we see through the Gospels. It was very important to Jesus for people and finances. People and finances, so many different illustrations that he gives with that. And so these classes are going to be starting up Sunday, February 17th. Like I say, they go for the 9 weeks, costs $100. If there's, you know, one of the things that Larry had shared on Sunday, that as, I guess the average, as the average of a person going into the class has about $48,000 in non-mortgage debt per family coming in. And basically by the end of the program, by the end of those 9 weeks, it's almost about $8,000 that the non-mortgage debt has already been paid off. So some really great testimonies of the families that have gone through this and really just putting an order to their finances. It's a great program. And so if you'd like to jump in and help out or have any jump in and do this and have any questions or want ready to get signed up for that, Steve and Christine will be in the back and they'll take care of you to do that. Also, if you have a hardship, you know, might be looking at, yes, I need financial help, and no, I don't have $100. And so we have a few kind of scholarships, and so again, talk with them about that. Kelly and I have a big heart for single moms, and so again, if that's you, just be able to let them know. And maybe even if it's not this time through, we'll get you through the next time through, but we'll do our best to be able to help you through that because it's a great, great program, and pretty excited about that. Also, Kelly has set up in the table in the foyer also about the Justice Conference. It's only 16 days away. We'd love to see you there at our all-day conference. It's only $20, another $6 if you want to get food. And so you can sign up online or sign up in the back. We're just trying to make it easy for you to get signed up. It's some great workshops. You get to pick two of the workshops and then teachings all the way through. It has to do with human trafficking, has to do with what we can do right here in our backyard. So we'd love to see you at our conference. Let's pray. Lord, as I just felt challenged to challenge each of us why we're here tonight. If we came here for ourselves, or whether we came here for you, or we came here because somebody else is going to be here that we're looking forward to seeing. Why are we here? Lord, I pray, God, as we assess that, we pray it's because of you, that we come together to worship you, that we come to give rather than take, that we come to give you our glory and honor and praise, that we come together to be able to fulfill the one another scriptures, bearing one another's burdens, etc. Before services, after, talking with friends, finding out how we can pray, finding how we can lift them up, hearing from, just hearing their hurts and that you've laid different individuals on our hearts, that we can minister to one another. Oh God, we come to give you our praises during our worship time, and now as we worship you in your word, God, that we would be listening for those things in which you want to nudge us, bump us, or maybe throw us forward in the forward direction of doing these things that you call us to. God, as we wrap up the book of 2 Corinthians tonight, we pray that you would help us to think back through this book and what we've gleaned, what we're planning on doing about it. Speak, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I had two friends I wanted to pray for. Lord, I lift up Jill Andrews to you with a broken pelvis from the bike accident. God, that you would help her, how painful that must be. And so, God, we pray that you would just give her grace and a quick healing of these fractures in her pelvis. God, we think all the way over the waters to the land of Kosovo. We lift up Leisha to you with a pretty bad sciatic problem. And Lord, it reminds us of that scripture, when one part of the body hurts, the rest of the body hurts, and it sure does with the sciatic. And so, God, we pray that you would help unpinch that nerve or whatever's going on with that, bring her healing and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're taking 11 through 14, just those last four verses there. Christianity's Nuts and Bolts. That's the title I came up with. You know, we use that informal definition of nuts and bolts, talking about the essentials and the practical details of something. Paul gives us these six practical commands for our Christianity. The reason I came up with the nuts and bolts is because the word six in Greek is hex, where we get hexagon, and a bolt has six sides. So that's what I was just thinking with the nuts and the bolts. And really, I think what he's doing here with these six nuts and bolts that he wants to leave us with is he's really thinking back through, this is the end of a letter. He's thinking back through, looking through everything that we just covered, and he's kind of just highlighting some of those things. And so he ends this letter with a very peaceful, encouraging note, even though he had a lot to rebuke him about, right? A lot of the things they were doing wrong within the church, and yet it ends very peaceful, very encouraging. One said, this benediction is the most complete of them all. It presents the persons of the Trinity in full form. So we're going to deal with these six, then we're going to deal with the Trinity as it wraps up in that last verse, in verse 14. Look how it starts, or the beginning of the end, however you want to look at it. But in verse 11, he says, finally, brethren, and I want you to just stop right there. Finally, brethren. It's like, Brian, what are you going to say about that? Well, here's what I want to say. Remember, this has been a letter to a divided, unspiritual church. That's who he's been writing to. And yet there's no distinction here at the end of those between those that attacked him and those that supported him. Brethren, you're all believers. You're Christians that I'm writing to. Not that every single person in their church that had shown up was a believer. But as he's writing to them, he's seeing them all on that level playing field of in the family, part of the family. And that's pretty neat. All that he's been through, all the sharp words that he's had to give them, and if I showed up, it would be even stronger if I was in person, and now wrapping up with just calling them brethren. And so we get into the nuts and the bolts, where Paul sums up again his letter with these six practical commands, and he says, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And the saints greet, all the saints greet you. And then he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful, and complete benediction. Some churches have just made this their benediction, that this is the way they close out their services. because it's so good. He starts with this farewell, goodbye. But it comes from a root that means be joyful. So yes, it is a parting statement, but in that parting statement, it's the reminder, it's the command, be joyful. Like what Chuck Swindoll said, he said, in other words, laugh more. Let laughter spill from your life, filling the walls of your home and your workplace. Solomon had a lot to say. I don't know if he was a little joker or what, but he had a lot to say about a merry heart and laughter, and it just seemed like he enjoyed just life. He says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good, like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Another one, Proverbs 12:25, worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers up a person. Third one, Proverbs 15:13, a glad heart makes a happy face. Broken heart crushes the spirit. One more. Two verses later, Proverbs 15:15, for the despondent every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast. There's something about enjoying the joy of God, expressing that joy. It's not putting on that plastic smile, you know that. But if most of my life is depression, if most of my life is just in the funk and just, you know, then we at least have to start asking some questions of what's going on. Now maybe that's physiological, you know, there's something going on and you need help with that. But I mean, our Christianity ought to be that way. He's saying that, farewell, be joyful. And so maybe our first soul search this evening is, am I living the joy-filled life? Maybe it'd help it this way if I asked a close friend, am I living a joy-filled life? What would their response be? How do my kids see it? How do friends see that? Let's look at our next one, be complete. That's number two here, be complete. NIV says, aim for perfection. It also can mean restoration. It has in mind this, supplying what is missing to bring about full usefulness. Something's missing. As I grab that, it'll have its full usefulness. Now, this is a word that's used a lot in the New Testament. We just passed it up in the Gospel of Mark on Sunday mornings where it was used for the mending of a torn net. That's in Mark chapter 1 in verse 19. James and John, they were there when Jesus found them and mending a torn net where he says, be complete. Something's broken, needs to get fixed. That's another way it's used, setting a broken bone. That's how it was used. Equipping an army with supplies or patching up anything that has been injured or damaged. Very colorful word. And that's why I like bringing out the Greek, because where he's saying, become complete. We start putting all those things in, a broken heart, broken arm being mended, a net's broken away. It's got to be sewn back together. And each of these things, he's saying, go onward to perfection. See, there's no standing still in the Christian life. If you're not advancing, then you're slipping back. Or as the Revised Standard Version says, mend your ways. Take an assessment of your life. What needs to be mended? See, after you make things right on the human level, you'll enjoy fellowship on the divine level. We see that through the John's first epistle, making sure that if you don't have love for one another, love for the brethren, how can you say that love God? And making sure that it's horizontal comes even before vertical, or at least going to put it in right. So have you mended your ways after being confronted by truth from 2 Corinthians? That's what he was saying. And so I stand before you as your pastor and say, okay, we've been meeting a bunch of Wednesday nights together. Has this changed us? Otherwise, why should we meet again next Wednesday night? If we're just trying to get some head knowledge, then that's no good. Has this book, going through this book, has it changed us? Has it done anything? Have I really grabbed onto things? Boy, I was really encouraged just this last week. Just heard of a couple things, but A lot of times I throw out a challenge. A lot of times I say, hey, here's your homework for this week, and I'll throw out one thing. And one individual had sent me an email, said I was really challenged as I'm trying to find my ministry, and you had said, what about the shut-ins, as we talked about that on Sunday, and he says, that's what I'm going to do. Go find me some shut-ins. I'm going to go minister to somebody, and it was just exciting to hear a response back from that. About 3 weeks ago, I had said, what's your passion statement? And had another individual send an email to be able to say, hey, I just want you to let you know, I did think about it. You know, I don't know if you get responses back or not, but I did think about it, and here's mine. It's like, all right, that's awesome. And so with that, you know, I just thinking, yeah, I wish there was a way to hear back from you a little bit better. Maybe it's our church Facebook page. I'm still trying to figure that all out on where to have you to be able to respond to, and then to be able to see each other's response with those things. We'll get it figured out, and we'll let you know how we're going to do it. But have you mended your ways after being confronted by truth? He uncovered a lot of things. He opened a lot of can of worms, hopefully in each of our hearts, not just this church from 2,000 years ago, but hopefully for us. You can also ask, have you been restored? What restoration has taken place in your own life? What difference have these studies made in your life? Remember, as one said, it's not how many books of the Bible we get through, but how many books get through us. So our second soul search would be, am I mending my ways? Let's look at our third one. Be of good comfort. Parakaleo. We know it from the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, one who comes alongside, but it can also be used as a command. When it's used for the word encouragement, it's used for the word exhort, to cheer someone or console one another. It's used for each of those ways. If it's exhortation, that this is be exhorted, understand it takes a big man to listen to hard advice. How do you respond when somebody confronts you with something? He says, did you know I see this in your life? Do you immediately, does the defense come up, hair stand up on the back? What do you mean? Try to put them back down, put them in their place. Well, this is what I saw in your life. Defensive tactic, you know, that kind of thing. Or do you shut up and listen? Say, could you expand on that? Where have you seen it? Can you give me an example? And to be able to really hone in on that and to be able to say, really? That's really how you see me. That's how it is. And then maybe take it from there and ask a couple other friends that are close to you. I had somebody, you don't have to say who. Can you believe they said this about me? No. But to be able to say, hey, somebody had said this. Do you see that also? Be honest with me. Or even better sometimes, don't catch them off guard. Say, I want to ask you something and I don't want an answer today. Let me know tomorrow. But here, I want you to really think about it, praying about it, because I really want an answer to this. And you have to want the answer. And then ask them, and don't put them on the spot to, come on, do I? You know, that kind of thing, because they're not going to give you an honest answer. So stop talking and start listening to the voice of the wise, to the voice of Jesus Christ, to the voice of somebody trying to speak into your life. And maybe they don't get it all 100%, but maybe, and that's what we have to look at, is 25% of it true? 50% of it true? Something in it true? That's what we can hold on to, and I think that's how we can be helped. It's an exhortation. Be exhorted. Receive exhortation. That's what he's saying. We can be of good comfort in following Paul's advice and getting our lives in order. So our third soul search is this. Do I consider my spiritual life to be in order? Or start identifying what's out of order? Be exhorted. Our next one, be of one mind. Be like-minded, harmonious in thought and aim. Agree with one another. Now, immediately, I have to stop and put a parenthesis around this and say, it's not asking for uniformity on the way we dress. It's not talking about uniformity on our appearance or our actions. God's never looking for uniformity. That's not what he's asking for. He's asking for us, though, to all have the same focus. Same focus. When we're like-minded towards Christ, we're like-minded towards others, unselfish and open, supportive, which is the secret of close relationships. A husband and wife, a boyfriend and girlfriend, two friends, The secret of a close relationship, like-minded. It's usually what brings us together. Why we actually like each other, like hanging out with each other, is because there's some type of affinity between us. There's a connection point that's there. It's being like-minded. Our fourth soul search then is, do I have a common purpose? Am I like-minded with my church, my pastor, with my small group that I belong to, with others that I serve with? That's important. God brings that up. Matter of fact, every one of Paul's epistles, he touches on that unity, and he touches on getting along. It's important. Paul brings it out, I think, most out of any of the other writers. Very important. Our fifth one, live in peace, or be peaceable. Paul's goal, stay together peacefully. Men must love each other before their love for God has any reality. We have to show love one for another before we can say we love God. Who wants to be in an organization whose members can't even get along? So we ask, do I live in peace? Do I calm the waters or tend to be the person who's always stirring up things? See, as they live together in peace and harmony, they'd receive this twofold promise. And that's what the next part kind of says. He says, live in peace, and then he says, and this is kind of a twofold result that you get from it. The God of love and peace will be with you. And then a little bit later in 13, all the saints will greet you. And so here's this twofold promise. As you live in peace and harmony, we can't count on his divine, we can count on his divine presence, first of all. The God of love and peace will be with you. He will be with you. That's what we can be guaranteed. Secondly, we can also count on our earthly companionship because all the saints will greet you. And so, again, it's that vertical, horizontal relationship he kind of keeps going, coming back to. And so our fifth soul search is, do I live in his peace or just visit in it once in a while? Do I live in it or do I just kind of visit his peace once in a while? What do my friends say? I live in peace. Or do I camp in drama? Live in peace, camp in drama. Number six, greet one another with a holy kiss. Maybe today we'd say, greet one another with a holy hug, a holy fist bump, or my favorite, the triple shoulder pat. You can't do two because then it's like you're trying to get away too soon. Or if you do four, then it's like, okay, this is getting awkward, back off, you know. And so the triple shoulder pat seems to be one that works very well. What's he saying? He's saying, thanks for laughing, Gordon. He's telling them to be affectionate towards one another. Obviously nothing impure or sensual. As men in the church in that day, as is still in many countries today when you go to church, men sit on one side, girls sit on the other side. It was men greeting men, it was ladies greeting ladies. So there wasn't any weirdness, there wasn't any impurity or anything like that. But he says there's a place for this healthy affection towards one another. The early Christians were known for their visible expressions of love. But unfortunately, later it grew pretty formal. I don't know if you've heard of these or not, but in the Middle Ages, these came about. They were called pax boards. Pax, from that Latin word peace, peace boards or peace plates, as you see these pictures behind me there. They would turn to one another and say, pax tecum, peace be with you. The greeting of peace. So I grew up in the Catholic Church, and there's the kiss of peace, as they call it. And you turn to it, peace be with you, peace be with you. And it's that. We do it a little more informally, but we basically do the same thing. Right after worship, we say, Romulus says, greet somebody. We say hi to somebody that's around us there. So back in 1250, this guy, this archbishop named Walter in England, introduces this pax board, and what it was, you would pass them around, see the handle on the one side, and they were made out of different precious metals, and made out of ivory, even wood. But they would bring it up formally to the altar, to the front, and the clergy would kiss it, and then they would pass it all around the room so everybody got to kiss it. Weird. Okay. Greet one another with a holy board, I guess. Kind of strange, but that's what we tend to do with most things. How can we formalize it to death, you know? He said to do this, and we'll just keep analyzing it through the centuries and come up with something like that. Stop it. Where's the warmth in that? Our sixth soul search then is, do I show appropriate affection of my brothers and sisters? Inappropriate. Or none at all. Let me ask it this way. Am I seen as a warm person? Do I share warmth? Am I the slip-in, slip-out kind of person? It's safest that way. Got hurt at my last church. I don't want it. When I'm here, it's just boom. Come in, sit in the back, get out as soon as I can. Especially before the parking lot empties. Where's an aspect of warmth? See, there's an important part to this where, again, he's wrapping up. And he's making this important part of it. Greet one another. The holy kiss. How is appropriate in your culture? Greet one another. Know one another. Have warmth. Care for one another. Know what's going on in their life. Ask one, if you don't know what to say or how to say it, it's like, is there one thing I can be praying for you? That's always an easy one for us. How are you doing in your Christian walk? What's the Lord showing you lately? We get to know each other and share that warmth. Lastly, in verse 14, we have the Trinity's triple blessing here. Again, it's a benediction, which means to utter a blessing. All that they had messed up on and mixed up and everything else, he's wrapping up with, that doesn't matter. I'm pouring out a blessing on each and every one of you. Doesn't matter how close you are with Jesus or how far away or if you messed up yesterday or if you did some sin that you're just thinking, God shouldn't forgive me for that one. If you're a brother and if you're in the body of Christ, your brother and sister in the Lord, he's saying, may this blessing fall upon you. That's what this benediction is. And look how cool this blessing is. Obviously, it touches the Trinity, Jesus, God being God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And with each of these, he starts off with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit. As one said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ takes us all the way back to Bethlehem, where Jesus became poor for us. He became poor so we could become rich. The second one emphasizes the love of God the Father, which takes us back to Calvary, where God the Father's love gave us his Son. And thirdly, of course, the communion, the koinonia, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. This fellowship, this participation, which has the Holy Spirit as its object. This takes us back to Pentecost, where the Spirit baptized all believers into the body of Christ. Bethlehem, Calvary, Pentecost, bringing these things in. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace manifested by Christ. What is this grace? One said it this way, you know, when a person works on an eight-hour day and receives a fair day's pay for his time, we call that a wage. When a person competes with an opponent, receives a trophy for his performance, that's a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievements, that's an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyways, that's a good picture of God's unmerited favor. Non-deserving, non-deserving, non-deserving. That's the grace manifested by Christ for you and I. The love of God, the love expressed by the Father. You know, there's this natural, logical kind of loving that loves lovely things, loves lovely people. We get that. A natural kind of love. Very logical. But there's another kind of love that doesn't look for value in what it loves, but that creates value in what it loves. I'll give you an example. Picture a little tiny girl with her little rag doll. It's all messed up. It's old, drool stains all over it, falling apart, stitches coming out. Mom's already washed it too many times, or stuffing's popping out, and it is just, anybody would look at this thing going, ooh, gross. But why is it important to that little girl? It's she's created value for it. This is Dolly, or you know, whatever she calls the little thing. It's she's created the value. Not value, but anybody else can't see the value. Doesn't matter if you see the value. She has created the value and says, this is important. Aren't some people's pets that way also? They love their pet. And you're looking at it going, really? Maybe it's the same way. And a lot of times you and I are bugged at, you know, we're stuck on that thing of thinking, God, but I'm so unlovely. How do you still love me? Well, it's not because you're lovable. Not because you're a lovable person. That's not why he loves you. That's not what scripture means by that. It's because he has created value in you. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, because of his son. And his son says, hey, they're one of mine. Repented of their sins, believed on me, accepted my blood, did all of that. And the Father loves us via his son. Because of his son, it's this value that he's placed on us because of Jesus. And the third one, again, this communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. See, the fellowship that's created by the Holy Spirit. The word fellowship originates in the relationship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It in this relationship that they have with one another. Now, I don't know whether you like the book Shaq or not, back when that was popular a few years back. But one thing I did very much like about the book is the interesting creativity that the author found in looking at the relationship and love that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had. I thought it was the most amazing thing I'd never seen before. And again, I wasn't reading it as a theology book. I was reading it as the fiction for what it was written. But in saying that, that relationship was very, very unique in how they loved each other. If you happen to read that book, I thought that was special. So this word fellowship, this koinonia, It originates, its foundation is that relationship between the three. That's why Jesus says in John chapter 17, in that great prayer, he's saying, Father, you know the connection that we have, you know how close our fellowship is, you know how that it's so close, we are one. I want that same relationship with them, with us, and us with them, and me with them, and here with it. And he goes all around making sure every one of those are connection. But that's what we go to when we're thinking fellowship, koinonia. What is that? Well, it's whatever the Trinity has together. It's that tight. Maybe it helps us. Psalm 55:14 might give us a good definition. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation, but I think it helps us define fellowship. It said, what good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. Do you picture two guys, two women, a husband and wife, whatever, as they're walking to church together, arm in arm, hand in hand, enjoying fellowship, talking about the service, talking about what's coming up, talking about the worship, and that's kind of the picture that Psalm 55:14 gives us there. What good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. In unity, know what we're after, know where we're going, and it's something good's going to happen. We're looking forward to it. So the root of this fellowship means common or shared. It's a common participation in something, either by giving or receiving, but it's a common participation in something. And he wraps up with the word, amen. So be it. I agree. Or as I said a couple Sundays ago, hopefully when we hear that word amen, we think of action, right? Who said it? Somebody get it? Awesome. Way to go, Donna. Action. It means, okay, what do we do now? You know, I'm on my third go-through of the New Testament, teaching through the New Testament verse by verse, and we're just about complete with the Old Testament, one time through. That was long. That Jeremiah took me a year and a half, I think, you know. But in doing that, okay, so we just wrapped up another book here. What does it mean? What will we allow it to do in our lives so we can say, amen, love what you said, Paul. I agree with it. But what's our action items? Where do we move on these, some of the things that we were stirred with? He touched on so many different things. What can we grab onto? Again, maybe it's just this wrap-up right here as he kind of resums up everything and puts it in more general terms. We can grab onto those, hold on to them. Let's ask for the Lord's help in that. Father, we thank you for this book. We thank you for our friend, Paul. Can't wait to meet him. It's going to be fun sitting down, maybe asking him some of the questions of the verses that puzzled us as we came through this. But I guess why should we be so zone in on the few things that we don't get? There's so much that you have taught us that we know is true that we can hold on to, and we still need help learning how to live it out in our lives, God. So thank you for this letter. Thank you for this epistle. Thank you for sparing this letter for the last 2,000 years. Thank you for those men and women that literally gave their blood to get this in print, to get copies made, to be able to get it all the way down to our hands here in 2013. We thank you, Lord, for all of those saints. They'll be fun to meet too and talking with them. God, we pray that you would help us in finding each of the application points, especially with these six that we talked about tonight. Work them, God, into our lives. Infuse them into our lives. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. Amen. Amen. Five things. See if I can remember them. Number one, if you took a individual's name, pray for them this weekend. Thank you so much for doing that. FPU and JM2 are in the back, and so if you'd like to get up, signed up for the Justice Matters or the Financial Peace University, that's three. The fourth one is, if you need prayer tonight, find a brother and sister to pray for you, or come on up. You want to do that again? You playing around?
I didn't mean to. Fourth one?
And the fifth one has to do with next Wednesday night. We finished a book. We're going to pause for just a little bit. And next week we're going to do we're still talking about it, but basically be worship and communion. And so it's going to be extended worship, extended communion, coming up with some neat ideas on doing communion a little bit differently for Wednesday night. Be more special, contemplative, really thinking through how we can, and so we're just kind of the time to be able to slow down and enjoy that time with the Lord of the communion. So looking forward to that next Wednesday night. I think that was five, right? Okay. Oh, there was six. Bye. God bless you.